those days, like many days, it seems, in my life, and I think you probably can relate to it. One of those days that you seem like you just have a few things on your list for the day or calendar for the day, but you just never really stop. It's like you just go from one thing to the next, and you just never really have a time to even just stop to catch your breath, let alone to rest. It reminded me years ago, do you remember the Staples commercial? They introduced the idea of the pause button. And I always thought, you know, that actually, when I saw that commercial, that connected with me, because I tend to push myself schedule-wise. I tend to, I don't know if I qualify as type A, probably the fact I won't admit that probably says I am, but I tend to push myself and fill my schedule tighter than what it should. And so I find myself in many of those days just like the hamster in the wheel, just continue running, and you just, if you could have a pause button just to stop everything, to catch up, that would just be awesome. So I remember seeing that commercial and thinking that would just be awesome if that actually existed, that you could just stop time for a moment, catch up, and then just let it go again. Anyone else relate to that? Today, as we continue in our series in Genesis, I want you to think, as we talk about the subject of Sabbath and Sabbath rest and what that means, I just want to connect, each of us connect with kind of how are we in relation to what I just described. If you're here and you connect with that and you feel that, yeah, you have more days than not that are, you feel like you're just overextended. There's just too much on the calendar. You're tired. You're anxious. You feel disconnected. And that can be disconnected from God. That can be disconnected from others. And you're just continuing just running, and you're really feeling like it's not something that you can sustain. It's amazing. Often our bodies will eventually catch up to us and we'll get sick or other thing. I mean, it will just kind of crash. But as we think about that today, I want you to connect, even if you're not the type, if you're the opposite of a type A person, the reality is every one of us has to reflect in our own heart and our own lives and how we approach our life to ask ourselves, do we really understand the importance of healthy rhythms and the fact that God, even in his creation, planned for a healthy rhythm for each one of us and in the gift, giving us the gift of the Sabbath rest. You know, often if you grew up in the church, as I did, in the church that I grew up in, when people would start talking about respecting or honoring or keeping the Sabbath, I would just get this knot in my stomach because I was just waiting for them to tell me all the things I can't do on Sunday. I was a tennis player in high school, trying to be a tennis player again. My body's not cooperating, but I was a tennis player in high school, and I loved to go and play tennis on Sunday afternoon. I went to a school, college that... all the exercise equipment in the gym and all the things, because it was a Christian school and from a holiness tradition, much like I grew up in, all the facilities had to rest on Sunday. And so that was something I always struggled with, because for me to go to play tennis for an hour on a Sunday afternoon was something that helped me rest, helped me disconnect from everything else that was going on. And as an RA in college, I always found it a little humorous that you can guess which night in the men's dorms had the greatest dorm damage. It was Sunday nights. Because all that restless energy was, instead of going out on the ball fields, it was all channeled up. And so we ended up, had to be careful when you'd open up your dorm, your door, to go out in the hallway on Sunday nights, because hall ball was popular. Tennis ball is flying, and it doesn't really work well with emergency lights and other things in the building. But you know, maybe you're there with me, and so when you hear the idea, oh, there's going to be a message on observing the Sabbath or keeping a Sabbath, maybe you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a guilt trip or all the things I can and can't do, and kind of a legalistic approach. I really want us to look at the scriptures about the Sabbath and recapture what I believe the Sabbath is a gift. It's a gift for each one of us that God has given us in the design of creation, and something that our bodies and our emotions and both our physically, emotionally, and spiritually we need. And I want us to encourage. I just want to encourage each of us to just pause for a second and not look at this as something that, oh, it's just one more thing I have to look at and say, well, how am I going to do this? I want you to hear and really receive the idea that God has given you a gift of Sabbath rest. We have to choose to take it. but it is a gift. And I want to watch a video. It's a popular song right now on Christian radio. And the song is not specifically talking about Sabbath, but it's talking about rest. And it's Johnny Diaz. The song is called Breathe. And I just want to, if you're here today and you feel really wound tight, you're dealing with anxiety, or you just feel like you're overextended or overwhelmed, as we look and reflect on what the gift of the Sabbath really is today, I just want the song to kind of prepare our hearts for that truth. I love the fact that even musically there was a difference between the busyness and the chaos and the pause to breathe, and really gives us a picture of what we're talking about this morning and the importance of Sabbath rest. You're going to see when we look at the scriptures and we walk through this today, a lot of the principles that we talk about today relate to the idea of a weekly Sabbath. But in general, the same principles also relate to just developing healthy patterns in our life, so that we're taking time daily, and we're taking time, not only that weekly Sabbath, but we're taking time daily to make sure that we're giving ourselves those times to rest physically and emotionally and spiritually, and times to connect, reconnect with God, our Creator. Our main text going through Genesis today is Genesis 1:31 through chapter 2, verse 3. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at a passage in Deuteronomy and then a passage in Mark. And I just want to highlight a few of these passages and some of the principles that we see and some of the truth in God's Word. And then I want to take that to the culture that we live in and how some of the issues that keep us from really doing this. Because it seems like it would be simple. But if we look and examine our lives, we realize it must not be so simple. Because most of us struggle with the idea of developing a healthy rhythm. And especially in establishing a healthy Sabbath in our lives. I will say too, right from the beginning, if you're in a situation that your work dictates what days you can take a Sabbath, you may not be able to take a Sabbath on Sunday or on Saturday. Your work schedule may impact that. The important thing is for each of us. I mean, the reality is Sunday is not my Sabbath. It's part of my Sabbath. It's a time of worship and time to connect with the body, but it's not my day of rest. You ask most pastors, they'll tell you the same thing. And so I've taken Fridays, and more recently trying to take Saturdays and trying to isolate Saturdays as much as I can. But I want to encourage you, whatever your work schedule is and the things that are out of your control, even when we look at our calendar, we can then make choices to say, okay, now this is the schedule that I've been given. Now how do I make this work in a way that I care for providing a Sabbath rest in my life? Genesis 1, 31 through chapter 2, verse 3 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And so God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. Because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation." Now, I want you to think for a second. Did God need to take a break? If you read through each of the 6 days of creation, as incredible as the account is, God's speaking everything that we experience into existence. It's effortless. The idea, I think we would all agree, that the idea that God has to stop to take a break is not really, I mean, if God is all-powerful, we celebrate as Christians that God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He doesn't necessarily need to take this break, but he chose on the seventh day to rest from his creation. When we understand that, we begin to understand that there's a significance in the fact that God set aside this seventh day as a day of rest, that he is establishing something in the very design of creation that's why this is such a critical issue for each one of us, is that the way that we are actually designed, we are designed with the need for rest. We look and we understand the basics from this passage, that the Sabbath and observing the Sabbath is basically stopping work. It's intentionally not working and seeking rest. But we also see in this that the Sabbath is also a time that is set apart. And it's a time really to connect with God. And this is where I want you to think about that word set apart. And some of your translations use the word holy. That God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy. It literally means that he set the seventh day apart. What we see throughout the Old Testament, that idea of holiness, of something being set apart, is saying it's taking it out of the normal use and setting it aside for something specific for God's purpose and God's plan. So that, we see when the temple was being built, that something that would have been just normally used in everyday life, like a spoon or a utensil of some form, if it was dedicated to God to be used in the temple, it was set apart for his purposes and for his plan. And that's at the heart of what holiness means, that when we live holy lives, we're set apart from the world and dedicated to God. And so this aspect of understanding the Sabbath is not just a day to stop working, but that it is also a time that we connect to God, flows out of that picture of a day that has been set apart and designated for a specific purpose that God has for us. In Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15, this is what we also know, there's an Exodus account as well. We have the presentation of the Ten Commandments. And this command, here we have the call to observe Sabbath is an actual commandment, one of the Ten Commandments. And I want to read this and just make a few observations. Verse 12 of chapter 5 of Deuteronomy says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant, your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Now when we look at this, we see this is one of the Ten Commandments. So it's clearly observing the Sabbath and keeping a Sabbath is something that is vitally important. We wouldn't look at any of the other Ten Commandments and say, well, this is no longer important. It's no longer important to not covet, to not steal, to not commit adultery. We would never dismiss any of those things. Clearly, it's an important issue, not only in the fact that it's part of creation, but it is one of the Ten Commandments that God presents through Moses. But what's interesting in this passage is, though, that the command is given, and then it connects back to Genesis in the fact that in the creation account, and that God created all that exists in the 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. But then it goes beyond that. And it gives us another important aspect to understand the purpose of Sabbath for God's people. And what we see is a call to remember. Do you see in verse 15, after giving the command of observing or keeping the Sabbath and reconnecting to God's creation in the instruction after 6 days of work, of resting on that seventh day, you see another reason why we are to keep a Sabbath in verse 15, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So for Israel, the fact that God had delivered them from Egypt is now integrated within this purpose of taking that day, that weekly Sabbath, to not only cease from work, but to take a day to remember and to celebrate what God had done for them. And when we understand as Christians, we celebrate our own deliverance. Not in how God delivered Israel out of Egypt, but we celebrate God's deliverance through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, in taking our sin upon himself, dying in our place, offering us forgiveness, but then in conquering death and rising again. And that's why it's important that we think for a second, why as Christians do we celebrate the Sabbath on Sundays instead of Saturday? Because we're remembering the Lord's day. When we say that we're remembering the Lord's day, we're remembering the day of his resurrection, the day that changed everything. And so observing the Sabbath is not only something that is connected to the fact of how God has created us, and something that's even before the commandments were given, that's important for each of us to understand. It's the way God created the world to work. We see for God's people that it's important that we take time weekly to remember and to celebrate what God has done for us. And that intentionality, of remembering, that we see throughout Scripture, the importance of remembering who God is and remembering what God has done for us, is part of our taking a break and taking a Sabbath. It's not just taking a break from work, but it's an intentional time to remember who God is and what he has done for us and to connect with him. Third passage I'd like to look at is Mark 2, 27 through 28. And basically, if you read throughout the New Testament and the Gospels, you'll see the religious leaders were constantly trying to trick Jesus. And they often use Sabbath observations as ways that they would try to trick him. There are multiple times where they would try to trick him to say, well, Jesus, is it okay to heal someone on the Sabbath? And you see Jesus very clearly not only said it was okay, but he did it. And he demonstrated that he was Lord over the Sabbath, that his word was greater than who he was greater than all these extra traditions that they had established. But one day Jesus and his disciples are walking, they're traveling from one point to the other, and they go by a field of grain, and the disciples grab some of the grain and eat. And the Pharisees witness this, and they challenge him and say, hey, why are the disciples, why are you allowing your disciples to eat this grain on the Sabbath? And Jesus goes on to tell the story and say, well, don't you remember when David and his men went to the temple and ate the temple bread that was only for the priests? And Jesus is making the point to say, you know, in that situation, the need of David, King David and his men, made it okay for him to eat what had normally been restricted. We understand that Jesus and what he is doing with his disciples was even greater than what David and his men were doing. And in these words, in verse 27 through 28, Jesus is speaking to two very important truths. Not only that statement that he makes many times throughout the New Testament of that the Son of Man, referring to himself as the Lord of the Sabbath, but he makes a statement that really is important for us to reflect this morning on. If we really understand the Sabbath as a gift, in verse 27 he says, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. God gave us the Sabbath as a gift. He gave it as a gift not only because it's something that as we were created we need. He gave it as a gift that will help us not only live healthier lives, but it will allow us to be in a healthier place to connect with him. But, you know, even if we accept that truth, the reality is any gift that God gives us and any gift that anyone gives us, we have to make a choice to whether we receive that gift. And when it comes to making the choice to receive the gift of Sabbath, it means we have to be really intentional to say this is a priority. This is something I'm going to prioritize in my life because I know I need it. And so that we are intentional in designing our lives and our calendar and everything that we do in a way that we're developing healthy rhythms in our life. So that physically we have those times of rest, that we have the times to rest emotionally and spiritually and times to connect with God. But, you know, the reality is we live in a culture that totally works against this. More so probably in the United States than a lot of other cultures. We live in a culture that fights against this idea of intentionally taking a Sabbath rest. And this is not exhaustive, but I just want you to think of some things in our culture that fight against this. One is the prize of productivity. I mean, when people ask you, well, how are you doing? How's life going? It's amazing how often the response is, well, I'm keeping busy. Because, I mean, no one would say, well, I've just been sitting around watching Netflix. Might be an honest answer, but that's not what we're going to tell someone, because in our culture, we celebrate and we prize productivity and busyness. It's what we celebrate it. And so the idea of pausing and intentionally not working is something that is countercultural. It's going against what our culture tells us to do. And so it takes a lot of intentionality on our part when we understand that. Productivity is something that, I mean, again, we tend to find our meaning and significance in what we do. And that's dangerous. Our meaning and our significance needs to be rested in who we are in relationship with our Creator. And if you're a follower of Christ, your meaning and your significance needs to rest in your identity in Christ. If you're trying to find meaning and significance solely in what you do, and that's why maybe the motivation of why you fill your schedule way too full, that's a red flag, or at least a yellow flag to say, what's going on with me that makes me think that I have to save the world, that I have to do everything? Another thing in our culture is the promise of technology. And I'm not talking recent technology. I'm talking recent technology as well as going back 30, 40 years. I mean, the reality is when all these kitchen, I mean, I talked to my parents and the appliances they didn't have growing up. And my parents, I mean, and my dad actually, they didn't even have indoor plumbing until he was in high school. They definitely didn't have the dishwasher. They didn't have the microwave. They had the old cook stove. I mean, the promise when all these appliances started coming into the kitchen, the promise to those who would buy these things was, this is going to make your life easier. You're going to have more leisure. You're going to have more time to just rest. Those of you that have been here to experience that and hear those promises, did that work? Typically, when new technology enters, it just raises the bar of expectation of what people expect in what we produce and what we do. And so you get the dishwasher, and then you're just stressed out because the dishes never make it into the dishwasher. Maybe that's just my house. But the reality is all these technologies promise leisure, promise to make things easier, but they don't deliver. And so now we all carry these around. Some of you choose not to, and that's probably a good way of exercising commitment over this issue. But the idea of having a smartphone that if I want to, I can have notifications going off in this thing constantly. I choose not to because I don't want to be led by that. Every time a notification goes off, I feel like I have to respond. We sometimes become bound by that technology to where we don't allow ourselves to disconnect and we don't allow ourselves to rest because we're so caught up in the calendar, so caught up in the emails and the messaging, the social media and everything else. We're just constantly being bombarded. Third one might be a little less obvious, but there's a, and I got a little creative, the pitfalls of leisure. In our culture, we not only celebrate work, but we also celebrate play. And that's going clear back to the 80s, that song that some of you know, if you grew up in high school in the 80s, remember, everybody's working for the... Okay, I know more of you know that song. Okay. Everybody's working for the weekend. It's celebrating work and play. So we work hard so that we can play hard. And that's where leisure, often we think, in our culture, we think leisure is the answer to our busyness. Leisure is the answer to our exhaustion. And if we're not careful, we miss the fact that leisure often is just substitute activity. And it's not always truly rest. A great book, if you struggle with any of this stuff, I would highly recommend Richard Swenson's book from 15 years ago, Margin. But he writes in this, and talking about leisure, he says, Americans do not tolerate an activity vacuum very well. Let me repeat that. Americans do not tolerate an activity vacuum very well. The slow, contemplative life is largely foreign to our experience. Therefore, when leisure time appears on our schedule, we select from the many activity options society offers. This is not inherently wrong, neither is quiet, introverted reflection always right. But when we work hard and then play harder, no wonder we feel fatigued so often. In our culture, we fill our lives with so many activities, and as parents, so many kids' activities, that we come to a place where we're not intentional about having times of rest. And so we have to be careful to understand the difference between leisure and just filling our life with maybe more fun activity than going into work. But we have to ask ourselves, is that activity, that leisure activity, really something that's refueling us, that's helping us really connect with God and connect with others and be healthy? You know, I find interesting, one of the best productivity books I've ever read, leadership books, from many years ago, Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. The whole book is about productivity. But I appreciated the fact that he, early on in that book, talked about the importance of sharpening the saw. And he used the illustration that if you have a saw and you never sharpen the saw, you're going to get to a point where you're going to be working really, really hard, but you're not going to be productive. And that's why every one of us, I mean, that's a visual image of what happens when we don't take time for rest. when we don't care for ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we come to a place where we're just exhausted. And we're not able to connect. When you think of that, it's important that we understand. I can't remember exactly Stephen Covey, all the different things he talked about in Sharpening the Saw. But as I think about rest and how important it is for us to take a Sabbath, I've already referenced this three different ways that it's important. That we have to think physically. Are we resting physically? Are we resting emotionally? And are we resting spiritually? Now, the physical is probably the baseline. And some of you know that I've tried over the years to take at least once a year a three-day prayer retreat. And I was so excited when someone who was training me and guiding me and taking a prayer retreat told me it was okay for me just to sleep most of the first day. Because I felt guilty. Because I'd get there and I'd open up my Bible and all I wanted to do was sleep. And those that are experienced in taking prayer retreats will tell you, it's like, no, you're often you can't deal with the emotional stuff and the spiritual stuff until you've just stopped. And if you're running 100 miles an hour, sometimes you just need that time to stop, to give yourself the physical rest that you need so that then you can deal with the emotional and spiritual. I think often the reason we never get to the spiritual rest is because we're just exhausted physically. We allow ourselves to be exhausted physically, or we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed emotionally, and we don't let ourselves come to a place of true physical rest. Emotional rest, we may not think about it, but it's key. And if you talk to any doctor, they're going to tell you that many of the people that are coming into their offices today will not just talk about physical needs, but they're going to talk about anxiety. They're going to talk about depression. They're going to talk about the fact they just can't turn their mind off. That's me. Even just like quiet time. It's amazing when I open up my Bible and I sit down to pray how often all these things start bombarding my mind. And that's why I started keeping paper near me. So that I could write, if something comes to my mind, I can write it down. That way it gets it out of here on the page so that I can really just pause and have that time with the Lord. We have those moments in our life that if we're not careful, we're not in tune with what's going on in the inside and in our emotional needs, that puts us in a place where we're going to have difficulty connecting with God and connecting with others. And as I think about how do we respond to that? If you're here, and again, sometimes anxiety, depression needs actual diagnosed medicine to help with those things. But in general, the idea that we just can't turn our mind off. Or the idea of anxiety that we get from life, I want you to think for a moment and think, what are the things you can do to try to address that need, the need for emotional rest in your life? Many of you know I love fly fishing, and one of the reasons I love fly fishing is one of the things that I can do that all the things going on in my head, I can flick the switch off. It all comes back when I come home, but no, it's not usually that bad, but I mean, when I'm on the stream, after about a half an hour, an hour on the stream, a lot of the stuff that's going on in my head just settles. And it's peaceful for me. Some of you, that would be the last thing you need to do, because it maybe just you may find it more frustrating than peaceful. But we need to look, and I give that example to say there's a difference in my life between leisure and something that I would say is recreation. Emphasis on recreate. What are the things that we do that we feel nourished by? That idea of recreation, recreate, are there things that you do that you feel, this is rejuvenating? This is something where I feel more in touch with who I am and in a healthier place with God and others. We have to choose those activities. Often we have so much noise around us that one of the reasons we can't rest emotionally is that there's just too much noise and you need silence. And if you're here and you struggle with silence, you need to push through that, because that probably is a sign that is what you need. We also need times of isolation. And this is where, with the issue of people, I mean, with noise, we need to sometimes choose to push the noise away and have times of silence. But what we also need to understand with people, we need times where we connect with people, and we need times that we disconnect with people. And most of us gravitate to one or the other, and we need to make sure that we're doing both of those things in our life. We need social interaction with people that are refueling us. But we also need times where we're disconnecting to be alone with God. And that brings us to spiritual rest. Maybe you've never thought about the idea of resting spiritually, but let me just highlight some scriptures. Psalm 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." The NIV and a lot of translations translate it this way, that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. There's a place where we connect with God, our Creator, that all the problems that we're carrying, we can actually, in a very real way, like my shoulders dropping, like I can just rest and know that God's got this, that God's with me. The idea of that image of being in the shadow of the Almighty, to know that you're in His presence, and whatever it is carrying, causing you concern and stress, know that God has that. That's spiritual rest. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." It's sad to me how many people look at the Christian life as a legalistic approach to just a long list of do's and don'ts, instead of the idea of a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus, where taking His yoke is letting Him guide us and lead us. And He's directing us, and we have that promise. When we surrender our lives to Jesus and let Him lead us, we have the promise of Jesus' words that I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Psalm 46:10, one last scripture to think about spiritual rest, says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." That "be still" literally can be translated, cease striving. Stop working so hard. Stop working so hard. Stop striving and just know that I am God. And so if you're here today and you have a situation that's causing you physical anxiety or physical stress or emotional stress, or spiritual stress, pause for a moment in that situation and think of this truth, to say God looks at you and says, "Stop striving, be still, and know that I am God. I have this." We all need those times. We need times for physical and emotional and spiritual rest. And so I just want to end with just, what are some steps that we can take? We know it's important. It's a gift. God created the Sabbath not as something just to add one extra burden. He gave it as a gift. It's something we need. What can we do to make sure this is a priority? What can I do to make sure that I'm actually living out this reality of observing a Sabbath rest in my life? First thing is, we need to schedule it, prioritize it. Too often we look at our calendars and we don't see anything written down. We say, "Oh, that time's available." And that's why often our quiet times with the Lord get squeezed out, or our time with important people in our lives get squeezed out. And often it can be what squeezes out our time with God in observing Sabbath. Because we've not set the appointment in our calendar to say, "This is time for me and God. This is time for me to observe a Sabbath. This is a time for me to rest." We need to put it in our calendar. We need to schedule it, but we also need to prioritize it. We need to learn to say no. Too often we look at a calendar, we think we just have to add something, but often we have to take something away. And there was a line in the song, you may not have caught it because it was really fast, but he even made a kind of a statement of, you know, sometimes it's letting go of good things. Sometimes we have to let go of good things so that we can receive the better thing. And so I can't answer that for you. But all of us have to look at our lives and say, are there things in our life that we're filling our lives with a lot of stuff that really isn't meeting our need for physical and emotional and spiritual rest and not helping us connect with God and others? We need to learn to say no to those things. We also need to disconnect. And let me explain. This gets back to that technology issue. We need times where the phone is turned off. We need times where we're away from social media. Those of you that are 30 and under, did you hear that? We need times that we're away from social media. Whatever your social media is of choice. Because every one of those messages, every one of those notifications takes our attention somewhere else. We need to have times where we're disconnecting so that we can connect with God and connect with others. And then we need to remember, we need to think about what the purpose of Sabbath is. It's not just rest. It's also remembering who God is and remembering what He's done for us. And it's setting that time aside, not just for ourselves and for our benefit, but it's setting that time aside for God to be working in us and through us. You know, I've read a lot in recent days that a lot of church growth guys are writing a lot about the fact that in the last 10 years, there's been a clear trend among Christians, even among evangelical Christians in worship attendance. And I realize this is preaching to the choir. You're here. But the reality is that many are writing about this phenomenon that people are not necessarily totally disconnecting from regular worship attendance. But what they consider regular is not the same as it used to be. I mean, growing up in the church, if I said I was a regular attender of a church, that meant if the doors were open, I was there. And I did that because it was not only something that was expected, it was something that was good for me. It helped me grow in my faith and stay connected with God and other believers. But pastors are talking about this, church leaders are talking about this phenomenon in the last 5 to 10 years, that people are they're letting other things impact that priority of regular worship attendance. And this is something that we have to look at in our own lives to say, is it really a priority? Is setting aside time to break from everything else to say, this is time for me to rest and time for me to connect with God and connect with others. Is this something that's a priority? I hope that today that you'll hear this not as a message of condemnation, but as a message of hope and a message as a gift. God invites us to receive the gift of Sabbath rest. We need it. The question is, will we receive it and schedule this and plan this and work this into our lives so that we can be healthier, so that we can be healthier physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and be in healthier relationships with God and healthier relationships with one another. The question is, are we willing to take that choice? Will you pray with me? I'd like to invite the worship team to come. Dear Heavenly Father, I just, again, thank you for your word, and I thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, so often, just like a parent with a child, we tell our children things often for their good, even though they may just see it as an arbitrary rule that we put in front of them. You've given us the gift and the need for Sabbath rest based on how you have designed us and created us. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to receive that. Lord, I pray that we would examine our hearts and our lives and really seek to live lives that are truly working towards health and living in a place, Lord, that we have the energy to connect with you and to connect with others. Lord, help us to make the choice to prioritize these things in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.